Delighted to welcome you, Noel, to Network Capital to learn more about subtle curry traits, your interesting career, and how you've managed to build such a large community of ambitious, curious, interesting South Asian professionals from around the world. So tell us a bit about yourself and subtle curry traits.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And a bit of my story is my parents, they're from Sri Lanka. They came to Australia in the mid-90s, and I was born shortly after here in Melbourne, Australia. And I grew up looking like this, but speaking like this. So I'm an Aussie through and through with this South Asian appearance. And growing up, I realized that there were many people just like me. And, as a bit of a joke in 2018, to celebrate our unique culture, I started this group called Subtle Curry Traits to have a laugh at the uniqueness of South Asians and the funny things that we get up to. And long story short, from there, what happened was I just added a few friends, we shared a few memes, had a laugh, and they added a few friends, and very quickly this group went ultra viral. And so it hit 2,000 people very quickly. And then after a few more days, it hit 10,000 people, and then just started growing and growing. And it wasn't just people in Melbourne, Australia. It was people started coming from, Sydney, from then, the US, from the UK, from different parts of the world. And we realized, man, a lot of these South Asians, they've got something very similar. They share very similar traits and humor and stories. And so from there, we've grown into who we are today, into one of the largest private Facebook groups on the planet. With over a million members. And it's been an incredible journey. And it's been nice to see how South Asians can actually come together in a world where there's a lot of divide between a lot of the nations and people groups now in our diaspora.
So humor was the fulcrum of your growth strategy, yeah?
That's spot on. Heal with humor is our mission. And what we realized was that it didn't matter if you were Bangladeshi, Pakistani, Indian, living in the US, in Canada, we've got members in Uganda. There's Indian communities in Uganda. A lot of these niches, right? It didn't matter where you were in the world. You were South Asian, right? You could relate to these memes, and humor bridged the gap between the differences of people. And so that was our mission, and that's what helped us grow to where we are today.
Awesome. So talk to us about the early evolution. When did you realize that you're onto something? The growth, of course, helps. The numbers don't lie often. But when did you realize that you're having some sort of a community market fit? What kind of comments, engagement, questions were you getting along the way?
100%. So early on, we obviously started growing very quickly. And what we realized was a lot of people were posting content. And just to put it into perspective, we were getting literally thousands of people sending posts every day. And during those early days, there was a stat taken, right? So I don't know how literally you want to take it, but it was apparently harder to get a meme approved on Subtle Curry Trait than to get into Harvard. And so that gives you a bit of an idea of how few memes actually got approved and how many were popping through. And that's when we realized, hey, this is really something. There's people that are messaging us from around the world. And also when Hasan Minhaj reached out and said he wanted to do an AMA with us and do a video and showcase our incredible community to the world, I think that's when we really knew we're onto something. This is growing and this is really beyond ourselves. And so in those early days, it was quite fun. We were very unique in the way we adapted to that virality and how we built our team. And so one thing we did, Utkarsh, was we actually, to grow our team and to sustain this incredible, viral thing that we'd built, one thing we did was we started to get people from across the world to help us build out a moderator team. And how we did that was, I believe this is the world first, we did a meme test with people. So people would apply to be a part of the community to moderate, and we'd send them memes, okay? And then we'd analyze how do they view those memes and how do they react? What do they find funny? What do they not find funny? Why would they approve a post? Why would they not? And based on these different pieces, we would then take them on a process to help us to look at that. So I think growing a team like that innovating in spaces like meme tests and working with Hasan Minhaj, we knew we'd hit something special.
Do you know where the word meme comes from?
I did not. I did not.
It comes from Richard Dawkins' work on gene. So just the way
Okay.
genes spread, people contextualize it, and memes became popular from the word gene. And now they're
Wow.
everything. They're an integral part of internet culture. I can imagine that approving posts is making subjective judgment calls. What is funny? What is perhaps in poor taste? What is just not funny? So, did you have a team? How did you build that team? Or was it you just sitting behind and looking at every single meme, approving or not improving?
Yeah, so as mentioned, what happened was we realized, hey, there's thousands of posts coming through, harder to get on than, get into Harvard, and so we need some sort of system.
That's a
And I
serious
and
tagline.
yeah, 100%. And so systems are everything in business, in running any sort of successful operation, right? And so we put a call out to all of our members around the world. And we got an incredible response of people who were willing to moderate. And so we went through that process of, hey, did they pass the meme test? Did they know what was funny, what was not? And you have to be very careful with the meme culture and humor, especially the last 5, 6 years with what's politically correct changing very rapidly, with what's funny also changing very rapidly, and how you can easily offend so many people groups. It was a very interesting time to, I guess, enter the space. But nonetheless, I think that is why now more than ever, humor is more important, because not a lot of people are willing to take the risk and put themselves out there and risk what's funny, what's not. And so we went out, built the team, and today we've got a team of around 10 across 6 different countries. So we were very intentional about what are the different time zones and cultures we can hit. So we've got a lot of diversity in our team, so we don't miss out on those, niches in humor. And then the other piece as well was we were very clear on what we wanted to see on the page, what was funny and acceptable and what wasn't. And those guidelines and those principles really helped us to ensure we kept the right content on our page and could continue to approve the right stuff.
Yeah, I'm really interested in how social networks grow. And your social network started off with something fascinating, memes and people commenting. So were the comments mostly laughter, or did you see interesting engagement breaking out? What was that process of being an anthropologist and a founder?
So for me, my background is I'm a finance guy and I did actuarial studies. So I love the numbers and I love to kind of see, what's happening in the background with what people are saying. And so analyzing a lot of these early comments, and our team and myself, we nerded out across a lot of spreadsheets and what percentage of people said this and that. And one of the biggest things we noticed was obviously people, they love community. Right, they crave community. And so the biggest comment theme we saw was people tagging each other's friends and actually bringing others on the journey and sharing the humor, sharing the laugh. And I think that's the beauty of what made Courage Traits what it is. It's what makes what a lot of internet communities what it is, where you can share and bring a friend along the journey. And so that's really was the biggest thing that we saw. Now, more than that as well, we just saw people, on the most part, have a good laugh, interact, respectfully with other people in the comments. There is always going to be, with communities like this, a small percentage of people who are trolls and troublemakers, and that are going to cause some issues as well. So we had to control our content and how people were commenting around with that as well. But what was also very interesting, right, apart from people commenting on the memes, the videos, the funny stuff, we actually got a lot of stories that people sent in and messages personally to us about how this page, which we just thought was a meme page, was actually transforming people's lives. And we were hearing stories of immigrants who had moved to new countries like Australia, to the US. They didn't know anybody. They felt like they were away from their home. And this group was a home away from home. We heard from people who, were suffering with disabilities and felt excluded in their friendship circles or at school. and they'd come to the Curry Traits and they'd find a community and place where they could laugh and relate with other people. And so it was really nice as well to see that beyond just a laugh, we were making an impacting difference and people were commenting and sharing those stories as well with us, which was awesome.
Can you walk us through how that happened? How does this entire cycle manifest?
So how that entire cycle manifests is we are really big on making sure our memes are wholesome and uplifting and obviously very funny. Now, there's a lot of trashy meme pages out there, but there's not a lot of places on the internet where it's funny, but it's also safe. It's something that you can share with your parents. You can have a laugh with an uncle. And so that was a real guiding principle when we wanted to think about what sort of content do we want to post. And we wanted to go down that route where it's very universal and we could share with other people. And it was something where you walked away and you didn't feel, dirty, or you didn't feel, man, why did I laugh at that? That was terrible. But you actually felt that was funny, that was true. And that, and you just felt lighthearted, after walking away from interaction. And so creating content like that obviously brought people together, but more than that, it actually inspired them to come back more and more and more each and every day, and take away from the struggles of their every day. And it's incredible just how humor could cut through all of that.
It's fascinating. You can have informed debates, discussions, help people. Humor is a start. It can be start of a beautiful relationship. And what I think you've done really well is to make it funny and keep it safe. Because finding that balance is often not easy. Because sometimes when you want to be funny, you don't want to always say politically correct things. You can, push the boundaries a little bit, but exactly how much to push, what to push, these are subjective judgment calls. And I think taking the community along really helps. Have you tried to do that? What are the ways in which you've built like a 1 to 1 million relationship that you have in your community?
One thing that I've learned along this journey of building a million member community is in-person connections are so valuable. I tell people that, meeting on Zoom is terrific, right? And you can get a lot out of it. And I'm very grateful we live in this virtual world. But I think meeting in person is about 50 times more effective than meeting over a virtual call. And one thing I found that really helped grow the community was meeting people in person, sharing the story, them becoming, followers and fans, and that's really helping to spread, right? So I think a lot of people think online, what's the best marketing strategy? How do I get in the right groups and corners, which is true. But I think the online piece is what's often undersold. And so that is really one thing that helped us. The other piece as well is, I'd say, is a thousand true friends theory. And what this means is if you've got a thousand true fans, like you can literally achieve anything. And it was finding who are the biggest fans in our community, who are the most engaged people. And so when we would look at our stats, right, going back to my actuarial and banking background and nerding out, we actually could see, right, and we analyzed all this, some of our top performing members, they were commenting about a few hundred comments a month, and they were liking about a few hundred posts and, people's comments every single month on our page. So we had some super fans. And so it was going, how do we find these super fans? How do we invest in them? Hear their feedback. What's working well? What's not working well? Why do you keep coming back? Why do you do what you do? And reproducing that magic to ensure that we can grow and reach more people. So I think it's actually looking after the ones who are the most invested, investing in those personal relationships, and finding those thousand true fans. And one other piece I'll add as well is the 20-80 rule, 80-20 rule. Often 20% of the people will give you 80% of the results. And that's the exact same with the online communities. Who is your most engaged 20%, cohort or subset of your audience, and how do you invest in them? So that's how we go about it. And delegating to elevate as well, making sure it's not just you as the founder or person who's running something, but you've got a team that you can trust to speak to others, to do the work as well, because you cannot build something like this on your own.
Precisely. We're not here to glorify a person, but it's safe to say that Hasan Minhaj is a really well-known figure. What's it like to be approached by a celebrity to talk on your platform?
The short answer is unreal. Hasan Minhaj is someone who I grew up kind of watching, looking up to as an influence in the South Asian space, someone who broke a lot of barriers. And so when he reached out, I think the first thing that went through our team's mind is this spam? So we did everything to make sure that it wasn't someone trying to spam us,
It
get
was on
things off
Facebook,
us.
was it? Did he DM you on
He reached.
Facebook? Okay.
And from there, like we were able to decipher that, hey, this is real, this is legit. And then from there, just I guess talking to the team, seeing how we went about the post. I still remember that post was one of our most engaged posts. It had about 30 to 40,000 likes and comments, with people, commenting what they wanted on the AMA. And it was just an incredible reception. And then seeing the YouTube video come out shortly after, and seeing Hasan Minhaj literally scrolling through this joke of a Facebook group that I'd created, right? It was just unreal. Like, probably one of the most surreal, is this really happening moments in my life. And so was very honored. And I think, we're very grateful to him as well for what he did and how he helped spread the word and really continue the viral growth of the community.
Congratulations. When you started it, did you want to make money out of it? Was it meant to be a side hustle or a full-time gig? Were you tired of finance? Talk to us about your state at the time.
So my state, so I love finance. I'm a numbers guy, and the banking world and systems and all this sort of stuff. And so I love my job. And while I loved my job, I created this as a joke, right? I never, in high school thought, man, one day I'm going to write a meme page or be in social media. Honestly, had no idea about social media, marketing or anything at the time, 6 years ago. And so I started this thing, and once it blew up and once it went viral, I knew, like, man, there's something different about what's going on here. And there's kind of two options. Either I just, hand this over to somebody else, dish it off, or I really just take this journey and see where it takes me over the next couple of years. And so early on, I went, look, God, what do you want me to do? And felt that heal with humor was our mission. And it was something that I really wanted to stick out to unite South Asians through the humor of what we've done. And ultimately, the sole purpose of this group has been to bring people together, to make people laugh, and to have a safe space for South Asians across the world. The group has facilitated some incredible discussions in many different areas. We've got groups of entrepreneurs, we've got groups of different connectives. And I think I'm very big in the power of connection and really bringing people together. I really believe your network is your net worth. And so it's really important, I think, for me, as I continue the journey with the group, to ensure that it was about empowering others, et cetera. And later on, we were definitely like, this is something that we can monetize and something that we can build a brand around. And you can see we've got things like our merch. We do work with different businesses who, want to promote their services with us. And I think with anything you do, you have to think of a commercial element. How are you going to su support yourself and build that income base up as well? But to answer the question, it was a joke at the start, and was had we never had intentions to be where we are, or we never knew what it could be, really.
So, what are the future plans? How are you thinking of building off of this really strong talent density that you have?
The future plans are, we've got a rich community. We've got a people of, rich and diverse experiences, of stories, of people around the world and connections. And I think what our team wants to really tap into moving forward is, how do we continue to cross collaborate, grow those sub communities, whether it's communities of entrepreneurs, of people that are creatives? How do we get them in the right room? make sure they have the opportunities to grow in their gifts and find their true callings and excel in the worlds they're in. And how do we equip them, give them resources to do that? And one thing that's big in Australia, the part of the world that I am, is recently India became the number two country to only England as the most immigrated country to Australia. So if you look at our population, people who are not born in Australia, English people are one, Indians are number two, and it used to be China for ages and ages. And if you look at our stats, South Asian people continue to come more and more to our country. It's very similar in the UK, in the US. And I think if we're not already seeing this, the next 10, 20 years, the world is going to be very South Asian, or a lot of people are going to be of South Asian heritage. And my heart is, how do we leave a good mark on the world? You know, how do we misspell a lot of stereotypes that South Asians may have, and help our community to stand out, to be different, to innovate and move forward and look beyond maybe some disagreements or disunity or bad habits that we've been known for in the past. And so I'm also very passionate about how do we really make a mark and change what South Asia really means as well.
And things are very different from what they used to be earlier. Today, I think the South Asian diaspora would be among the most, at least in tech and finance and that kind of stuff. It'll be very, very well known. But importantly, in culture as well. People like Hasan Minhaj and several Sendil Ramamurthy and many others are really well known. And this global melting pot is being created with South Asians, and you're sitting on top of a really strong media plus community plus whatever direction you want to take this platform on. But you're the son of Sri Lankan parents. Sri Lankan parents and many South Asian parents have a very clear definition of careers and what they consider successful and what they consider a good job. I would imagine that you're from the finance guy to a community guy. I'm not sure how that transition has been for your parents.
Yeah, it's a terrific question. So studying actuarial, I was very blessed early on to start in the world of banking, even before I finished my uni degree, and be in that career longer term. But my parents, they've been absolutely terrific, very supportive of, you know, they came to this country, worked very hard to build a base and, you know, get us through school and build a life for themselves. And I think their biggest dream is make a difference on the world, use your skills, and how can you know, beyond even just your 9 to 5, how can you put that into practice, get the results on whatever community or whatever platform that you push and endeavor yourselves on. And so I think it's really encouraging as we see more kind of millennials come through, and enter the workforce, enter them taking charge of their lives and their destinies. We're actually seeing a lot of parents support and change. And so I'm someone who's actually going, yes, there's these memes, and I laugh at the memes, and we create the memes about South Asian parents, but I truly believe that they are changing for the better, and they're adapting beautifully into helping their children achieve what they can. So I've been very blessed with my parents in that sense. And I encourage anyone who's listening as well, take your skills, don't undersell yourself, and show how whatever project or business or startup you're working on, show how you can put that to use and make yourself even better and more impactful in the world around you.
Fantastic. Is there anything I should have asked you that I didn't, or any parting thoughts that you have for our listeners and viewers?
Online community is here to stay. And one thing we've seen, especially post-COVID, is how people interact and talk to each other is completely different to what it was, you know, 5, 10 years ago. And so to make sure you're relevant, to make sure whatever you're working on gains traction, you need to make sure you've got a base online and that you're engaging with people in this space. And so my encouragement to listeners is there's two ways to look at social media. One is, you know, your Instagrams, your LinkedIns, et cetera. They're the window to the shop. It's what people, you know, they peer through and they see, you know, what's going on with what you're doing. And then a Facebook group or a Slack channel or other online communities, they're actually us inviting people into our shop sitting down on the couch and taking people through a conversation and a journey and explaining a bit more. And so my encouragement to everyone is, how are you playing online? And do you have an element of, that front window, but also that community where you can take people on a journey? And a community can be a very rich thing and place where you can grow some incredible connections, conversations, and really make a lasting impact. So those will be my parting thoughts. Don't look past the community online.
Thank you very much, Noel. You're fantastic. Thank you for doing what you do and make the world funnier and kinder.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.